very simply explained, sperm precedence is the replacement of the previous male sperm by a secondary male, which is not all that simple, really. It has been kind of more thoroughly defined like the result of a slow and non-random mixing of several sperm inside of the female reproductive tract. And the definition or this concept of sperm precedence goes further and says that pretty much the male that is taking precedence is going to fertilize kind of nearly 50% or more of the ova of the female, and eventually over time is going to gain complete paternity, or what we see or what we know as precedence. The tobacco budworm is a polyandrous moth. They copulate several times in the field, and actually females, pretty much 80% of the females captured in the field have been dissected, and they contain more than one spermatophore. So that means that females copulate more than once. If we take this situation of sperm precedence, and then on the other part, polyandry, and we try to put it in a context of the transgenic plant refuge, we can expect, this is an arbitrary thing, that 75% or more of the BT-resistant females may have a chance to copulate with two males. And this is expected, this is what I assume, because BT-resistant moths, when resistance occurs, they will emerge simultaneously. And because we have set up a system that for every resistant BT-resistant moth that emerges in the field, there's going to be 500 BT-susceptible moths to kind of dilute and take care of resistance. But under this situation, so every BT-resistant female emerging in the field will have a great chance to mate with one BT-resistant male and with one BT-susceptible male. And this double mating scenario will come, for example, in this sequence. This is a resistant female that the first mate will be a BT-resistant male. Progeny will be BT-resistant progeny. And after a certain point, she is going to mate with the second male that, for example, this time is going to be a BT-susceptible male. So from that point on, BT-resistant is going to be diluted if sperm precedence occurs. If we go in the reverse sequence, a BT-resistant female first mates with a BT-susceptible male, that's what we want, but if this female mates again now with a BT-resistant male, at certain point she is going to produce BT-resistant progeny. Of course, this proportion of BT-resistant or susceptible progeny will take place depending on the time that the copulation happens, because if the female already laid so many eggs, there's going to be a proportion bias from to one male or the other. But just to make matters a little bit more complicated and even perhaps some realistically, tobacco budworm females can copulate with two different males even before laying one single egg. So there's a possibility that tobacco budworm female may have sperm of two males already inside, and the presence of these sperms will give rise to what we want to study or what we want to see, what is about sperm precedence. To put this on the kind of real world or put it on practice, first we copulate a highly BT-resistant female with a highly BT-resistant male. On day one, the progeny of this mating is going to produce BT-resistant offspring. But then the same female on the following day copulates with a BT-susceptible male, and from this point on, if sperm precedence works, she is going to produce only offspring that is BT-susceptible. We did this in the laboratory, and we collected eggs of each female every day, and larvae were exposed to this diet containing BT. if the progeny was BT susceptible, like in this case, for example, this little speck, the larvae didn't develop or die. And when the larvae were BT resistant, they were very happily growing on BT diet. That's how I or we differentiate between resistant and susceptible larvae, and that's how we created a proportion. So there are two possible or more scenarios of the outcome of this experiment. If the second male was BT resistant, and if sperm precedence happens or occurs, then at least half of the progeny is going to be BT resistant. While on the opposite scenario, if the second male was BT susceptible, we are expecting that at least 50% of the progeny will be BT susceptible. Of course, there's a possibility that there's a variation of the previous scenarios. These are my results. This graph represents the offspring proportion when the second male, in this case, was BT susceptible. And this is the proportion of the offspring that is BT susceptible and the proportion of offspring that is BT resistant. The second male was BT susceptible, so we were expecting that at least 50% of the progeny will be BT susceptible. It's happening in this case because 80% of the progeny was BT susceptible and only 20% BT resistant. When we did the opposite cross, we were expecting to find at least 50% of the progeny being BT resistant, but actually it did not occur. And actually, there's not significant differences between these two mating scenarios. So if we go and revisit the definitions that I showed you priorly, it says that in average, each or one of the two males may gain 50% of the fertilizations. Well, you can see in the graph that really is not happening, but I'm not discarding sperm precedence altogether just yet. And the definition says that either male can gain complete paternity, so taking precedence over the other. Perhaps we can see this better if I take that data and I break it down now into all the days that the females were laying fertile eggs. We were expecting here a high proportion of BT susceptible offspring. And if this was true of sperm precedence, we were expecting a high decline on the proportion of BT-resistant offspring. So you can see here that there's a kind of a diminishing trend, but I just put this line here arbitrarily because you can see here also that there's not really a response. There's not a, let's say, a very clear response. The same graph, but now looking only at the progeny of the BT, of the second male that is BT resistant, we were expecting a higher trend on this. And if you use a lot of your imagination, you can see that this line is true and is going up. If we put the two together and we make a statistical analysis, sure, there's a significant differences between the trend of resistance going down, depending on the mating sequence, between one scenario versus the other. So really, sperm precedence is working there. But if we put it on a really, on a more practical context, what can we learn from this? Well, this strain of tobacco budworm that is highly resistant to BT, and another one that we already studied, really doesn't follow the complete or very simplified pattern of sperm precedence as we know it in another insects. Even on a more practical sense, a double copulated BT-resistant female can produce progeny of both males. And if one of them happens to be BT-resistant, she will continuously produce resistant offspring. Now, going to a little bit of numbers, this seems to indicate that a very high proportion of BT-resistant females, that if they happen to copulate with a BT-resistant male and a BT-susceptible male, will produce BT-resistant offspring throughout the all reproductive life, even though it's going to be only a portion of the offspring. So resistance can be diluted that way, but it's not going to be completely, let's say, canceled or overcome by the second male mating. I hope that made my point somehow clear, and now I'm ready for questions. Yes, Dr. Tabashnik.
Thanks, Dr. So, did you determine that they actually made it, or did you just allow them the opportunity to make it?
The question was that if I observed that they really made it. Yes, this is part of the methodology that I couldn't include here. One of the males was treated with a tissue staining substance that later on we dissected every female, and if we found two spermatophores and one of the spermatophores was marked and the other not, then we were certain that this was a double copulation with one with every male. Yes. Yes.
Did you test whether or not the sperm from the resistant strain was as fit as the sperm from the susceptible strain?
If I had the chance to look if the sperm of the BT resistant male was as fit as the other one. Actually, we had to do several manipulations for this, because if I take the YHD2 strain as it has been preserved for years, these mods, they have some fitness detriment in comparison with the other strain that I'm doing. So what I did was integrate at least three times the YHD2 background into the ARS background, or my susceptible line background, in order to have, let's say, competing males at the same time. But yes, there's a little bit of detriment on sperm quality on that.
Thank you.